Podcasting live at the time we recorded it. From the studios in downtown Gulfport, Florida, it's WGAB, The Gabcast.
Hi, everybody, and welcome back to WGAB, The Gabcast, the Gabber newspaper production. I'm Patrick Heinzen. I'm the news and politics reporter for the Gabber newspaper. And although not physically, I am here with...
Cameron Healy. I'm the assistant editor of the Gabber newspaper.
And I'm sure most of you listening hear my voice crystal clear, but Cam, why is your voice not crystal clear?
Oh, well, I'm in New Hampshire, guys. I have to go attend a Celtics championship parade in Boston, so...
You all understand.
I have to do what I have to do. So we're over the phone, and that's okay, because I'm dedicated to WGAB, the Gabcast, a Gabber newspaper production.
And for a similar reason, we're not doing a video again this week, but we'll be back next week with video.
And we're trying to get a studio together,
yeah,
guys.
Yeah, we'll have our studio little setup going, so that'll be fun. But today we're going to talk about some issues on the beaches, and then move into something that everybody loves, some pinball.
And fish. Let's not forget. But yeah, what's going on? There's so much drama with the beaches.
Yeah, I think we'll start with the big one, which is happening on Madeira Beach.
OMG.
Madeira Beach mayor resigned about 4 days ago on Friday. And originally, it just came out that he had resigned from the city. But a couple hours later, I received an email, and it was him detailing why he resigned. It turns out...
That's crazy. Okay.
The reason he resigned is he pretty much alleged that the whole city commission and the city manager are corrupt. And they're really operating on like their own self-interests and paying no attention to the laws and the rules of the city and that kind of stuff.
Corrupt is a crazy word.
Yeah,
like,
but
that's a crazy word to throw in there. Yeah, no, they're corrupt, guys. That's why I'm leaving. So, yeah, what did he say in detail about like what happened?
Well, one of the things that he talked about was, well, the first thing he said was he's the only person on the dais who was elected by residents. The others were either came in an unopposed race or appointed to those positions. So because of that, he said that he's the only one who was really operating on the residents' behalf.
Yeah, they're not the people's people.
Yeah, and he also claimed that because of that, the commission didn't really listen to him, along with the city manager didn't really listen to him. And the city manager specifically, he called out a couple times talking about how he's not following the rules when it comes to purchasing things, or he specifically talked about how the city manager circumvented the rule stating that for a project, there needs to be a request for proposals to a bunch of different contractors, and instead the city manager made a deal directly with a contractor. So that kind of thing is, he highlighted it in the code, and he sent a bunch of documents with, it was very much so, the house is burning and I'm going to get out and tell everybody what I'm seeing from the inside. Like,
he
said, I'm going to leave this and I'm going to leave it saying what I got to say.
Yeah.
And we've actually, over the last couple of days, received a bunch of emails from residents of Madeira Beach.
Oh my gosh, what? Really?
Just talking about how right he is. And they agree the city commission is corrupt, they say.
More corruption is so
large. everybody's really talking about how
really using that.
They're not really acting on what the residents want. It's what they want. And I'm working on something like a bigger story about this, because there's a lot of people that want to talk to us. I reached out to the city manager of Madeira Beach and he sent me an email back. But that's going to be for the future. But for right now, they don't have a mayor other than the District 4 commissioner and vice mayor, Anne Marie Brooks, is stepping up into his spot for the time being, but the search for a mayor is going to continue later in the year. And yeah, what one thing I can say about what the city manager emailed me is that these claims of corruption are baseless, according to the city manager. And he said that it's just not true. So there's definitely a lot going on out there.
It seems like a lot.
Yeah, the mayor was very kind of adamant about the reason he was mayor is for the residents. And when he can't get anything done for the residents, there's no point in being mayor. So
honestly, that's so valid. Like, if you feel like you're not doing anything with like your actual position and what you hoped for with it, why even like
it was interesting because like the mayor didn't email us his statement. It was a resident that forwarded it to us because the mayor emailed it to a bunch of residents because he said, like, you, the residents, are the only reason I do this job. And he wanted to be clear with them over everybody else. So like, it was forwarded.
I'm only doing what I'm doing for you. So.
Exactly. It was forwarded to us.
Wow.
And, yeah, there's definitely a lot going on. And hopefully Madeira Beach is able to steer the ship the right way. I can't speak to these claims, but I hope that everything goes well for them and the residents there, because obviously the residents are not very happy with the way things are going down, and the mayor was not happy with the way things are going down, and I'm hoping that I'm able to speak with the commissioners and hopefully speak in person with the city manager to kind of talk about these issues.
Yeah, absolutely.
But along with that, Madeira Beach isn't the only city on the beach that's experiencing some turmoil. Because just a little bit south, at the most recent St. Pete Beach City Commission meeting, tensions ramped up.
I love that.
They
ramped up. About
a ramp. About the Don Cesar boat ramp. Now, anybody who lives down in St. Pete Beach near Paso Grill or in the Don Cesar area, they have a boat ramp at the Don Cesar, and it's I believe it's the only one in the city.
Think I've physically seen it.
Yeah, I mean,
like,
yeah,
it's like weird.
But the city now has a population of about 8,900 people, and
their
code says they need a boat ramp for every 5,000 people that they have.
So they're getting close.
They're getting close. Another one. Because of that, they kind of said, well, we need another one.
Yeah.
8,900 is closer to 10,000 than it is to 5,000. So they said, we're pretty much there. Let's build it. But along with that, they were talking about the Don Cesar boat ramp because it's very old. It's not in great shape. And it contributes to flooding problems during storms in the area.
Oh, word.
And
great.
So they had a big discussion about a feasibility study that was done. Mm-hmm. And kind of the discussion was whether to keep the Don Cesar boat ramp where it is and renovate it, build a new ramp in the city, or both.
Yeah.
And it seemed to me like there were kind of two sides here. Because
how did they do the study?
Well, city staff went by and they looked at the area that the Don Cesar boat ramp is in right now and a second area a little bit further north, I believe, in the city, and compared those two based on a variety of things like how safe it would be for people for the surrounding area, flooding problems, that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And neither place was perfect. And both places were honestly pretty far from perfect. Commissioner Resnicki, she spoke a good bit about how in the feasibility report, a lot of these issues that were talked about in the feasibility report were ranked as severe. So there's severe concerns to safety and severe concerns for flooding for both areas. And because of that, she spoke about the history of the Don Cesar boat ramp and how it was never really intended to be a boat ramp, but that's what it was used for. And eventually, Commissioner Wisnicki and city manager Mike Clark kind of got in a back and forth about it. Because the city staff held a meeting to ask the residents what they wanted to see. And at that meeting, Clark, the city manager, he asked the residents, like, oh, would you guys prefer this or this? And he was talking about whether or not they want to keep the ramp where it is.
Yeah.
And it was just a simple, like, raising hands vote. And according to him, he said that the people in the room pretty much agreed that they want to keep it where it is and renovate it, build a new one.
So how was it brought up in the discussion, like at the meeting?
So the thing that they were discussing was whether or not they were just deciding on like a site for the boat ramp, whether they're going to keep it or not. And so Mike Clark got up there and pretty much said, I'll answer any questions you have. And Commissioner Resnicki immediately jumped in with some of her questions and said, well, I was watching this on TV and it definitely seemed like it was more half and half. And Clark immediately kind of disagreed with that and said that he's willing to talk more about it. But they just kind of, I don't want to speak to how they feel, but from what I could see, it definitely seemed like the city manager kind of wanted to get through it, kind of get it over with. And Resnicki felt like the city was a bit hasty and was jumping into this.
Because
she talked about how she's been working on this project since before she was a commissioner, and she's been talking about these issues, especially because over the last couple meetings, St. Pete Beach residents, especially of the area of Paso Grill, were talking a lot about flooding and how bad the flooding can get down there. Yeah. And it can be really, really difficult for them to get through that year after year, and then the city continue to not do something. One of the residents was talking about it makes no sense to spend that money building this boat ramp or renovating this boat ramp when it can be spent building a seawall to protect the residents there. And along with that, the other commissioners, so Commissioner Richard Lorenzen and Karen Marriott, both kind of agreed with Clark, saying, like, we need this. Lorenzen was very forward about, like, we don't have 10,000 people yet, but we will. And when that happens, we need to build another boat ramp. Do we want to do that now and have it ready for when we have 10,000 people? Or do we want to do that when we have 10,000 people and then we have 12,000 people when it's done?
Yeah, right. Like you start it now, so by the time it's really good and ready and everybody's used it and it's like to what they need for standard, meet the standards, like they'll be ready.
Yeah, it was definitely an interesting discussion, and some residents got up and spoke about how they felt kind of disregarded by the city because Resnicki was kind of the only one who really was pushing for this while the others were just accepting the city staff. And that's one of the things that they've been accused of, kind of just going through things and agreeing without reading stuff and just kind of saying yes and putting their stamp on things.
Yeah.
And not dissimilar to the way a lot of people were talking about the Gulfport Council during the election, how it was very just kind of agreeing to these things. And Resnicki challenged that and said, well, we need to do more on this. But eventually it ended up passing. They're going to keep the Don Cesar boat ramp where it is and renovate it. And it passed 3-2 with Resnicki obviously saying no. And then Mayor Adrian Petrilla also said no, while the other three agreed. So
She's really standing on business for real. She said, I said what I said. I know what I know about what this is.
I don't know if you can hear this over the phone, but.
Is that rain?
No, it was cheering.
Oh my God. It did not sound like cheering at all. OMG. Is that what it sounds like for everybody else? But I did hear the drums. That was a good.
Yeah, well,
do the cheers again. Do the cheers again. Woo! Yeah! Yeah, that's actually so real. That's so funny.
But yeah, so down in St. Pete Beach, they're going to continue kind of doing what they're doing. I hope that we don't see similar issues like we're seeing in Madeira Beach, because I know that many of the residents have said similar things that the residents are saying about the commission of Madeira Beach right now. And I know that the mayor is in a similar position where he was the only one who was elected, while the other four, the other four had a unopposed race and took their seat. And because of that, it's a learning curve and it's a whole new commission, but hopefully they're able to bring it back together. And especially with all these large projects they have going on with the resorts on the beach, they can pull it back together, and hopefully they're able to do well for the city and for the residents.
Yeah. Reel it back in, guys. we gotta get some work done.
And speaking of reeling it in.
Reeling it in, guys.
Let's talk about two very unlike things. Fish.
I cannot believe.
And pinball. Yeah, fish.
I can't believe this place exists. Like, I would have never said, yeah, let's put these two together. But this man, he said, I'm gonna put the two things I like most in one store.
That's the dream. That's the dream.
Like, that's wild business. So
yeah, tell us a little bit about this.
Guys, this is in Pinellas Park. They have everything over there. I don't understand. So Pinellas Park has what is called the Pinball King. He is a man, but it's also a store, which is also known as Pins and Fins. See, that's where they have like the two working together. So the owner, Michael Mapes, I think I'm saying that right. He's the owner of the Pinball King and Pins and Fins. And he started off with just making these virtual pinball machines. And they kind of almost work like I picture it more as like this huge iPad in a pinball machine. And it's like, you just have this screen and it looks so real.
Well, do you know those like tables where it's like a Pac-Man? Like, it looks like a Pac-Man table, but you can go through and select, like, 50 games.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's like a arcade machine, or, like, yeah, it's a pinball machine, but it's, like, when you go to an arcade and it's, like, an upgraded arcade machine.
So, yeah, it's a pinball machine, but instead of having, like, all the little bells and whistles on the inside, it's just a flat screen, right? And then it's all done virtually. But it's made to feel like a pinball machine, where it like it's the same materials and everything, and you hit the buttons on each side to do the little paddles or whatever they're called. But it's all done through a computer and on a flat screen, right?
Yeah. So he actually spends a lot of time working on it. Yeah, it takes him a really long time, and he luckily has two people that help him. But yeah, he considers himself the artist, and the virtual pinball is like his canvas. This is what he's working on. This is his work of art. And it's honestly a work of art because I can't imagine the programming, the actually assembling the screen in the machine to make it work and to fit the machine that, you know, like, what you're playing is also going to match what the machine looks like. Cause you know, when you go up to a pinball machine, it has a theme on it, you know, and then the game also has like the same colors and characters and themes, like, I don't know. So he tries to make it as alike as possible to the original games. And he does it for more of like a nostalgia feel. He really likes trying to make it authentic and makes it feel like you're playing the game as it was originally. But obviously, yeah, it's an updated,
a lot of people
updated
like,
world.
I feel like there's a lot of people who like to, people with some money who want to like collect pinball machines.
Yeah.
And you can only fit a couple in a basement, you know? And you got to choose between like what themes you like and all of that. But with this, you can get one and whatever you feel on that day, you can change it over to the next one. Because he said there's, I don't remember the exact number, but he said that there's a bunch of different screens and themes that you can put on it so that it can just be a Star Wars theme that day or Indiana Jones or fish. Like he also enjoys.
Yeah, he said his machines can support roughly 1,500 virtual tables.
Wow.
So that is pretty sick. Honestly,
yeah, you're not
going to
get
like,
a basement where you can fit 1,500 different pinball machines.
That's what I'm saying. It's like having an iPad in a freaking pinball machine. Like, I'm just able to play anything, honestly, on here. So he got to do that. And what happened was, this is where we get into the fun fish. He ended up kind of going viral on YouTube. Oh my gosh. So he had a customer actually really love his work and posted it on his YouTube account, the customer. And it ended up getting more than 300,000 views. So obviously that's a lot of eyes on one product. So, you know, as we all know, consumerism, once the demand goes up, the supply goes up. So he was working hard, dude. He was working hard. He had emails, phone calls, everybody going, hey, I want one. I want one. And he was like, okay, actually, this is a lot happening right now. And he tried going into like Zen mode, you know, trying to go back, trying to calm down. And he said that he ended up getting into fishing again. So when he was younger, he lived in Ohio and he used to hang out by the creek. And that's just like how he found his love for fishing. So he kind of went back into that world, back into what it's like to be a fisherman. And he really enjoyed that. So he decided he wanted to help others by the world of fish and that experience. And he started making aquariums. He started helping with breed. I don't think he breeds fish, but there's
something
with.
I thought I saw that he bred fish in the warehouse.
Yeah. So it's like he does it with such thought too. It's not like, oh, I'm going to go breed all these fish and make a bunch of money. No, he doesn't care about the money, honestly. The dedication and the customer service and making sure somebody feels like they have the best product ever. And he has a bunch of aquariums and obviously things to take care of fish, all the equipment. So it's really a great place to have that unique experience for your fish, you know? And so, yeah, he created pins and fit.
Yeah,
pins and
a
tins.
Creative guy, and he's taking two things he loves and putting them together.
Yeah.
That's really cool. I've always loved like making the idea of like making an aquarium. Like, I had a joke with my buddy and I that we would do, you know, the show Tanked with fish tanks.
Yes,
we
dude,
want we
that
want to do that, but with like
show.
With like reptile terrariums, like that would be so cool.
Interesting.
But this is really cool because it's like you said, it's just a guy who liked pinballs, so he started making pinball machines.
Yeah,
and then the supply went up, and he said, "I gotta deal with the stress." Started fishing, and then he's like, well, I like this too. I can try to market this to people as well. And he did.
Yeah.
It definitely seemed like a cool store. So if you like pinballs, fish, or both, head out to Pinellas Park and go check out some fish and pinballs.
Yeah, guys, go check it out. That'll be so fun. But yeah, that's all we had for this week, guys. I appreciate getting some time to talk with Pat over here over the phone, a little Gabcast action, and getting to talk about lovely Pinellas County. What's going on in there?
Enjoy the Celtics parade, Cam. I wish the Mavericks had won, but you're still gonna be able to enjoy. And yeah, guys, next week we'll be back on video in our new studio space. And hopefully you'll be right back to enjoy listening to Cam and I yap for a little bit. So thank you so much for listening to WGAB the Gabcast, and we will be back next week.